From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Today's text is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It is a happy way of soothing sorrow when we can feel, He careth for me. Christian, do not dishonor your religion by always wearing a brow of care. Come, cast your burden upon your Lord. You are staggering beneath a weight which your father would not feel. What seems to you a crushing burden would be to him but as the small dust of the balance. Nothing is so sweet as to lie passive in God's hands and know no will but his. O child of suffering, be thou patient. God has not passed thee over in his providence. He who is the feeder of sparrows will also furnish you with what you need. Sit not down in despair. Hope on, hope ever. Take up the arms of faith against a sea of trouble, and your opposition shall yet end your distresses. There is one who careth for you. His eye is fixed on you. His heart beats with pity for your woe, and his hand omnipotent shall yet bring you the needed help. The darkest cloud shall scatter itself in showers of mercy. The blackest gloom shall give place to the morning. He, if thou art one of his family, will bind up thy wounds and heal thy broken heart. Doubt not his grace because of thy tribulation, but believe that he loveth thee as much in seasons of trouble as in times of happiness. What a serene and quiet life might you lead if you would leave providing to the God of Providence. With a little oil in the cruse and a handful of meal in the barrel, Elijah outlived the famine, and you will do the same. If God cares for you, why need you care too? Can you trust Him for your soul and not for your body? He has never refused to bear your burdens. He has never fainted under their weight. Come then, soul, have done with fretful care, and leave all thy concerns in the hand of a gracious God.
Overwhelmed by His mercy, amazed by His grace, I am cleansed from all sin, every sign, every trace. Jesus left heaven's portals, Himself to abase. I'm overwhelmed by His mercy and His all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh, a tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by His mercy and His all-sufficient grace.
In His keeping each night and each day, for I know that He's leading each step of the way. patient grace.
God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. Oh, what love God bestows upon all who believe. He will free you from guilt when his Son you receive. He has promised to keep you, prepare you a place, if you'll take of his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace.
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. Continuing his series in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Old Man Crucified and the Body of Sin Destroyed. The text is verses 6 and 7 of Romans chapter 6, in which Paul continues his discussion of the believer's union with Christ. As he wrote, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." There is much confusion over the meaning of some of the terms Paul uses in this passage. Some argue that the old man is still an active principle in the believer's life. But, as Dr. Cairns will show, the old man is what the believer was in Adam. Paul says that the old man has been put to death in Christ's crucifixion. His testimony in Galatians 2, verse 20 is, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, "The old man crucified and the body of sin destroyed."
You've got to be very careful about making your state, that is your eternal state, dependent upon a transitory mood. You can have wonderful religious experiences and be under the wrath of God. You know, one of the most joyous times in the history of Israel is when David sent for the Ark of the Covenant. And they had a wonderful religious party. All along the road they were singing, they were dancing, they were in wonderful fettle. And you would have imagined from their religious experience that they were in the height of blessing, and that God was with them. Well, he was with them, but he was with them in anger. He was with them in judgment. And as soon as Uzzah put his hand to the ark that was rocking on the cart in which it was carried, like that, God smote him. David was angry, but he had no right to be angry. It's a foolish thing. Foolish thing indeed. To imagine from some euphoric experience that you have security. Our security needs an absolute basis, and that basis is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how Paul argues throughout this portion of the book of Romans. The Lord Jesus died, the Lord Jesus rose again. In John 14, verse 19, he had promised his disciples, "Because I live, ye shall live also." And here in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul demonstrates for us the formal basis on which that promise of the Savior rests. Because he says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, because he that died has been justified from sin." Tonight I want us to think upon the old man crucified and the body of sin destroyed. The old man crucified and the body of sin destroyed. And I will tell you what I told one of the ladies of the congregation today, that I will have 4 points tonight. I may not get to them all, so it may be 4 points tonight at next week. But I will have 4 points, and I say that because I am told by various people that they have a hard time figuring out points from sub-points and all the rest of it. Well, don't get worried about the technicalities, but I'm telling you, and these should be clear enough as we go along, so that you'll be able to follow, because the argument here is vitally important. You see, in this passage of Scripture, we run into some terms that are far-reaching, and terms that have been, I think, largely obscured in most of the interpretation that men have given them. The old man is one such term. The body of sin is another such term. We're going to look at those tonight. The first thing I want us to think of tonight is the old man identified. It says that our old man was crucified with Christ. Now, who or what is the old man? It's a very simple question. Unfortunately, the answers don't come quite so simply. And here I'm going to touch on something that I'm absolutely certain most of you can identify with immediately. Most of us have grown up with the idea that a believer is a man with two natures. The old nature and the new nature. You heard that? Are you awake out there? I think you've heard that. The old nature and the new nature. They are taken to correspond to the old man and the new man. And so here you've got this spiritual schizophrenic. He's got two natures. It has been described this way, that it's like having, I think it was Mike Barrett told me that a teacher taught him this, or a preacher taught him this, or he heard somebody say it, or maybe he made it up. It's like having two dogs in the house. One is nice and placid, kind, fetches your paper for you, makes your coffee and all the rest of it, and the other is a big, bad, savage brute. And it's according to which one you feed. Feed the new one, the good one, and the old one, the savage one, he'll get weak because he's not getting food, but feed him, and he'll be all the more savage. We've grown up with that. These two natures in the Christian fighting it out for supremacy. Now, the difficulty here is that there are two principles at work in every believer. The Bible speaks of the flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So there are two principles at work. But it's my contention that you are just one as to your nature. It's further my contention, and this is where it gets to be very interesting, that when you talk about the old nature and the new nature, and you equate them with the old man and the new man, you make the old man to be that old nature, namely the flesh. And so that's how some people would come to Romans 6 and they would say the old man is the flesh. It's the old nature which still lives in the Christian. There are some people who take a different view. And they just will say, without going into such detail, without dividing your nature, they will say, well, the old man is the flesh. The old man is just all the corruption of your nature. Some look at 2 Corinthians 4:16, where Paul speaks of the outward man perishing and the inward man being renewed day by day. And they say the old man equates to the outward man and the new man equates to the inward man. But you know, there's something wrong with all those explanations. And I'll tell you the insurmountable difficulty that each of them encounters, and it's this. Paul tells us in our text that the old man was crucified. And there is no resurrection for him. The old man was, not is being, not we hope will be, but the old man was crucified with Christ. So to speak of the old man yet surviving in the Christian obviously runs contrary to what Paul is saying. To speak about the old man perishing at a later date again runs contrary to what Paul is saying. Now here we get to the important part. To instruct Christians that they should starve out the old man. To instruct Christians that it is their duty to crucify the old man. Is to tell them to do something that's utterly impossible. It's to tie up their whole Christian life looking to pursue something, to come to experience something that the Bible says is an absolute, utter, total impossibility. You've got Christians struggling. How can I crucify the old man? God says, in effect, what are you talking about? The old man was crucified long ago. Now, I know for many people, that comes as something almost revolutionary. I am aware that there are a couple of texts that at first blush seem to contradict what I've just said. See, there are only two other places in the New Testament where Paul speaks about the old man. And in opposition to what I'm saying, these are usually trotted out. So let's face them head on. Ephesians 4 verse 22, we read, "Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." Colossians 3 verse 9, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." Now as I say, these are usually quoted to prove that the old man is not really dead. That whatever Paul meant in Romans 6, he didn't mean that the old man was literally put to death and will never be raised again. But that somehow the old man has merely been subdued and must be kept subdued. However, when you come to Romans 6, there's no way around it. Paul said the old man died. Now, it's not hard to understand that. There is a rule of interpretation in Scripture that you always interpret either the difficult by the simply stated, or the secondary by the primary. And this is the primary reference to the old man. This is the primary theological reference to the old man in the New Testament. And it says, he died. He was crucified. But when you look at these two texts in Ephesians and Colossians, you find that they don't in any way contradict what I have said in Romans 6. In fact, they strongly support it. Let's come to the Colossians 3 verse 9 for a start. It says, remember, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." If I could give you a rougher, literal rendering, it says, "Lie not one to another, having put off." The idea in the verb is, having put off completely from yourselves the old man with his deeds. I don't want to bore you with technicalities, but both these texts show you the minuteness of biblical inspiration. And they will show you with what care the apostle chose even the tense of the verb in which he was expressing his thought. Because this verb, or this participle, having put off from yourselves, is so framed that it conveys for us an action that not only began in the past, but was completed in the past. And isn't that exactly what Paul's saying in Romans 6? The old man died. To change the wording slightly in Colossians 3, Paul said, once and for all, he was put away. Why? Because he was crucified. And therefore his argument is, your old man died. And that truth must control your conduct. So don't be liars one to another. It's interesting when you go to Colossians chapter 3 and just contrast in verse 8 what Paul says. He says, "But now ye also put off all these." That's an imperative. This is something you're told now to do. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, and do not lie one to another. Why? Because you have in the past, by faith in Jesus Christ, once and for all, put off the old man. The old man was crucified. Colossians 3 doesn't change what Paul says in Romans 6, and it supports it, as you would expect.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.